Welcome to another Hour of the Truth. We have Phil Walthall here on my right, Scott Bishop on my right, and we can't connect with James for some reason. So, we'll go with what we got.
Good afternoon out there, everybody. Good to be here.
Yes, it's good. Good to be above ground, huh? Let's see. It is another Sunday, another investigation of how good the Lord is, of how gracious and merciful His provision for us is. And, of course, just as we start the show, my voice starts going. So, the thing that I've been thinking about over the course of the last hour is the presumption that so much of Christendom walks in. They presume they're all right. They hide themselves from the light, and they think God's on their side.
That's rampant out there right now. You know, we see it in the Bible, that was happening in Jesus' time.
Yeah.
I'm sure it happened between then and now, but we definitely see it out there now.
But, I don't know what it takes in everybody, in each individual's lives, but in my experience, when you start taking God seriously, you realize how far from the mark you are. And then you start finding out exactly how much is contained in the name Jesus and what He has done.
And the key thing to what you say is taking God seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you have a lot of people, you have a lot of, you know, so-called ministers out there. None of them take the Word of God seriously. They take from it what they think is, you know, wonderful to make them feel good. They ignore the bad stuff, you know, what they perceive as bad. And they just walk around with their head in the sand, thinking everything's A-okay. I'm great! You know, as Steve always says.
Tony Tiger.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's done Tony Tiger on the Hour of Truth since I've been involved with it. That's pretty good. we're such a mess. I don't know any other way to describe it. But, you know, all the enemy's got to do is cast a little doubt in your direction, and, you know, we buy into it, hook, line, and sinker. And you don't even see it as unbelief.
No, not at all.
You know, you don't see yourself as not, as being too prideful to come to the light. And, all the number of verses are in my head. I'll land on one. 1 Peter 5, 7? Where it says, you know, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. This is a God that loves His people and has made provision through His Son, Jesus Christ, for His people. And who we have to be reminded to cast all your cares on Him.
Sure. And let me read that verse for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7.
Right.
Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
Right.
I'm going to go into 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
And He does, just for purpose of clarity. He does mean resist the devil, not resist Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, but.
Yeah, him resist steadfast in the faith.
Kill, steal, and destroy. That's all the enemy cometh to do, right? Kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah. He's been
as a roaring lion. He wants to eat that kill. That's looking for his next meal.
One of the things that either we've mentioned or somebody has mentioned before is he's been around a while. You ain't going to wait him out. You know what I mean? You're not going to be able to hunker down and just let the storm pass. I mean, you got to get out there and it's a roaring lion. Confront that sucker.
Yeah.
Put it down. Yeah. And we can.
But the practicality.
Good grief. In the sense of this is, as I am reading it, says, at the end of 8 says, whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And he's seeking those that he might devour that are resisting the steadfast in the faith. They're separating themselves from the faith in Jesus Christ. So they became an open target.
Well, sure. What does, a predator see? You got a wolf, you got a lion, you got these predators out there. They look for the weak, the infirm,
the babies. Not even just that. You see them, you see the lion when they go and attack. I mean, you see it on the Hit Discovery Channel or whatever. You see it. It's not even so much that how big or small they are, but what they see is the one that is away from the herd.
Yeah.
The one that's away from the herd. That is stepping away from that protection.
Separated
themselves. Separated themselves. And what they do is they go and they cut in line. They cut between the other herd and that other one. Then here comes another line and they boom, trap them down. They take them down.
Sure.
Big, small, little, didn't matter.
That's true.
They separate themselves. And that resisting that steadfast in the faith is when you actually resist being steadfast in the faith in Jesus Christ.
Sure, you separate yourself from the herd, the flock.
Yeah. So
you're open to attack at that point. Looks like we got James on the line here. Is that the case? I heard him ringing in.
Speak, James.
I am here.
Get up on that mic. You're a little low.
Yeah, man, eat that mic.
I'm here.
All right, that's good. We have him here. Woo-hoo.
Am I real quiet still?
Yes.
You're kind of faint, yeah.
Is that better?
Not really.
Let me see what I can do on this end.
Well, while Paul's trying to make some adjustments here, was there anything that struck you in those first couple services today or anything that's been going on this week? Talking to you, James.
I know. I was finding the mute button. I was pulling a Paul Mahler.
Oh, there you go. All right. We can hear you better now.
I found it.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, Steve, talking about all things in common and what that really means is far from what people in the world think. And it struck me as I can see where love falls into that, because what we think in our carnal mind is love is opposite to what love is, or God's love. What would seem like being mean to somebody is actually love. And, I thought both services were great. Steve's, I really almost don't know how to comment on, because it was very good. I want to listen to it again.
Yeah, well, I didn't get most of the beginning of his thing, so I did hear the end. And the the attitude of the church. Yeah, I don't know about it. Well, y'all didn't like that. Let me see if I can change that quickly.
Everybody just got really low in sound, and I am maxed out. All right. Well, we can hit that little button right there and see what that does for us.
Now see if we're happy.
Yeah. Yesterday, we did do some audio testing and had it all dialed in, but you know how these computers go. There we go. Now we're saying it's better. All right, we can go ahead and edit that section out.
Edit. just trying to help. We have the example of Jesus in, we're in Mark 10, talking to the rich guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rich guy's hanging on to his possessions. And the opposite is going on in Acts, where everybody's throwing everything together. They were so relieved that they actually could yet receive grace for what they had done. They didn't want any of the possessions they had when they killed. They didn't want anything that reminded them of what they got there with. When they got there with crucifying the Lord of glory, all that stuff was dirty to them. All of it. They didn't want any of it. And I can identify with that. That's, they were casting their whole lot with the Lord. That sold outness was the thing that that rich guy couldn't do, because you know when you have that conversation with Jesus and he tells you the truth and you walk away grieved, it's like desperation time, because and you're grieved because there's nothing you can do.
Well, that's what you feel.
That's
like
the whole point. There's nothing you can do. And even that which you can do is death and destruction. And that's where they had just walked. And you know, that's, you still have a father that loves you and says, cast all your cares upon him, Jesus, where he cares for you. And come boldly before the throne of grace. And it's like we were sitting here talking before the show. I don't know anybody that would describe how they come to Jesus as boldly. But I know it was desperation.
Sure.
I know it was, oh my God. You know, reality of how screwed up you are and how much you need a savior. But the availability of that grace and the faithfulness of the offerer of the grace means the boldness you come with is an expectation of delivery. Of receipt of the goods promised. It's trust, a boldness in trust, a boldness in knowing who has made the offer and the faithfulness and surety of that offer. It's not in the boldness of like, you see, I really don't need this all that much. See how I'm able to come here. The boldness is not in yourself.
It's a confidence.
It's a confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To know this is what the Lord said, and yeah. You know
yeah.
with confidence that it is true, that it is right, and it is available.
You know, by experience, you know, the longer you go, you know, the surety of it.
And that's where your hope lies, in that surety. I mean, what's that verse? Tribulation worketh patience, experience hope, and hope. There you go.
Hope maketh not ashamed. It's not disappointing. He's not going to disappoint you. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Alright, that just took every excuse out of the way.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, where is that? That's Hebrews 4?
4, yeah. 15.
Well, and then there's another, and I look at that as well as somebody that understands.
Yeah.
I mean, you can talk to many people about your circumstance, situation, or what you're going through personally, the things that you see in your heart, that arise in your heart. I might be talking to one guy. They might say they understand, but don't have a clue. They don't understand that struggle, or they don't understand that. But the Lord, I mean, the thing is that's really cool about the Lord is that He does. He does. Mm-hmm. And that's another place of trust. Another place of trust where you can know and have that confidence, like you guys are talking about, that He does understand. He understands that struggle. He understands these things. And that, you know what? He can bring you through those things. Mm-hmm. And then that you're not talking to a guy that hasn't been there. You're talking to a guy that's been there and more. Been there and way more.
Yet, he'd been there perfectly without sin. So, it's, you know, everything is like exceedingly abundantly above that which we ask or think. It's really that much better than you could even imagine once you've been confronted with what you're guilty of and what you're, once you're confronted with what your need is.
Or you just see it for yourself ever before your face.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the confrontation comes from even somebody, but you just looking in and you see, oh my gosh, I'm a mess. You know, I'm a mess.
Reading the chat. Yeah, he doesn't disappoint. He does amaze. That's Angie and Lisa of confidence in him and his ability and his willingness and his reliability, his faithfulness. Show up. You know, if you're separated, if you're feeling separated from him, you are. And how you fix that.
Right, well, it's not his problem, it's yours.
Right. You put him on, put on the armor of God. Step in, put on Jesus Christ. When you do that, you confess your sins. You confess your sins. You thank the Lord for his trustworthiness, for his faithfulness, for his patience. And you're there, you're back. Because that's what he does. And that's what our need is.
And there's another thing to that too, is, you know, look, man, what does pride make you do? It makes you feel good. It makes your carnal feel good. I mean, when you got that light being shown in your heart, oh my gosh. I mean, it's like, all of a sudden, what ends up happening is like, humility, I mean, because you see your need for Jesus. So sometimes it's, you might feeling far away, like your fleshly self feeling far away from him, but actually it's his light being shown in your heart, and he's closer than you think. You're nearer than you think.
Sure, and that flesh of yours isn't ever going to feel comfortable.
Right.
When you're in that light.
Right.
You got to overcome that. Put that down.
Amen. I remember it was years ago, and somebody was testifying about the fact that, oh man, I feel so far away, and I, you know, I forget who it was. I think it was Dave or somebody says, you're actually closer because that light's being shone upon you.
That's the other thing. The availability of the offer of that grace is, where is it? Is it hand?
Amen.
Is it hand? All you got to do is take it. And that, again, violates pride.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't want to acknowledge you want, you need it. No, pride doesn't want to acknowledge that you need it. Wow. But you think about trying to remember where the acts of occurrence of this is, but the testimony is, I know it's in Philippians, but because in Philippians 2 it talks about, you know, consider the mind of Christ who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But came as, like, as a man.
Yeah, you're in Philippians 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God,
yeah,
but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men.
Right. He was. This was God incarnate, who took on. He stepped down off his throne and took on all the infirmity of man, all the sin of man. All of the frailty. And, you know, despised the shame of the cross, but for the joy of delivered grace and mercy on the other side of that, that resurrection put the stamp of approval on the work he did. Because he lives, we can live. Because he lives, death and hell have been conquered. Wow.
It's really an amazing thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up, right?
Right.
And it's something. I mean, not even that every man would be saved, but should. I mean, it was,
no reason.
He did that just for the hope.
Yep.
I mean, it wasn't a done deal, as we know. I mean, there's still some work we need to do here. But he opened that door so that we could walk through if we choose. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And it's there for us, right before our faces.
Right. And, you know, the testimony of the words is, it's all, you know, it's humbling if you receive it in pride, but it's the truth of it, you know, the nailing of it is, let me go there, because otherwise I'm going to slaughter it, more than likely.
Where are you heading?
John 3.
All right.
God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. You know, and of course, that the charge is always brought to God is that you just brought Jesus in here to show us how unrighteous we were so you could drag us out in the desert, beat us up, and leave us to die. That's pretty much the case. And you give us all these fairy tales and stories that sound charming and all that, but how do they relate to us? Through him, the world might be saved. There's no reason for them not to be. They have it within their grasp. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Duh.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that is absolutely the way it is. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, what an interesting phrase, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You come there to find out how you stand. So you know whether your deeds are wrong. He that doeth truth.
Right.
Most people would say, well, truth is something about something you say. Well, if the truth is the word of God and the truth of the gospel, then you do that as well. And it's going to be evident whether you're doing it or whether you're hiding it. You're trying to do your own thing and hide it.
What comes to mind? He's talking a little bit about David this morning. I mean, what did he do? I mean, most of his choices were, what did he do? He that doeth truth. I mean, when he came to the Lord, Lord, should I go down there and go and turn it up? Okay. Lord, should I go down there and you know, take on the people that are trying to hurt your people or not? Will you deliver in my hand? Yes. What's manifest there? I mean, he did the work of the Lord. He sought the Lord out. And he did that which the Lord had him to do. He was doing truth. You know, he came to that light. He didn't go through the assumption first of what he was going to do. And when he did do something that was an assumption first, usually, right, and he was brought to account because that wasn't him doing truth. That was him doing his own thing, which led to a outcome, but the Lord yet still had mercy on him. And what was manifest was
glory.
And what gets manifest there is his mercy, his loving kindness.
The goodness of God.
The goodness of God. I mean, when we go, you know, you talk about doing that truth. I mean, do we go and take, I mean, kind of a little bit of, you know, what you're talking about, do we take our relationships up to him, to the Lord? Do we take our relationships with, you know, how he would have us to be in the workplace, home, amongst brethren, in the world? You know, that's coming to that light, getting your motive examined, getting your heart, checked.
Yeah.
You're getting your heart checked about what you're about. Are you about your own thing? About your own benefit? Right. About your own selfish wants and needs?
If you're not bringing those things to the light,
right.
Then you are about your own self.
Right.
Because you know, deep down your deeds are evil. You don't want anybody to know about them. So you keep it hidden. The Lord knows your heart. You ain't hiding nothing from him.
Amen.
You got to get to that humble point where you say, Lord, you got me dead to rights. I mean, shoot, I know you know. Help me.
Amen. Amen. That's essentially what he was talking about. Go to him with these things. Get, and then the condemnation is, instead of the condemnation there is because you preferred your own deeds over his. You preferred the selfishness and the darkness and all these things over what he has for you. He didn't. You're already in the condemned place. He's there to set you free from the condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
Not put you in there, because that's your natural state. That's how you came out. You were born right into it. Right into it. He's come to pull you out of that.
It's a genetic defect.
The default position. You're sitting in the prison, but the door's open.
Yeah.
He's saying, come on out. I'm right here. Yeah. I'm taking care of this.
All you gotta do is walk out.
Yeah, because what do you say? The world is condemned already. It's already condemned. You're already condemned. But he come to set you free. Come to set the captives free. That's what the scripture says. Yeah.
That didn't send his son to condemn the world. The world was condemned already. You know,
it seems pretty simple. You know, believe. It's a pretty simple instruction.
Also an affront to pride. You know,
what's that?
A real offense to pride. Everybody wants to think you're special.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Paul, one thing I see in it is instead of going to the light, but rather staying in darkness, you see where in the world, instead of acknowledging that we're in need of him, we do all these things to self-justify and self-righteousness. We don't smoke, we don't drink, we don't this, we don't that. And then everybody feels good about themselves.
Or
other and feel good. And we're all just so good.
Or the other way around. Well, I did this, or I've done that. I do this, and I fed the poor, or I did this for this person, or, you know.
You know, I used to go through that bargaining process in my head a lot. It's like, yeah, this is probably wrong because I like to do it. I'll make up for it. I'll go to church today. I mean, that's what, yeah, you really got a hold on that one there, Bubba. No, well, not so much. That's like, God didn't even see that. What a D-U-M-M-Y stupid.
And that's putting the fig leaf on.
Yeah.
That's putting the fig leaf on, because the only thing that can really blot out that is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the work he has done. That's it.
Amen.
That's it. And see, when we do that kind of stuff that you're talking about, that's a fig leaf. Hey, I'm covered up though, man. Hey, I'm covered up. Hey, I'm right.
Standing in your own righteousness.
Right, exactly.
You're covering it up. Yeah, maybe I can't see it because of the fig leaf, but God can.
Exactly. It's not when it comes. It's
easy enough
to
recognize when it's a fig leaf and when it ain't.
True.
When it ain't, you know it.
Yeah.
When it is a fig leaf, it's sitting right there for everybody to see. So you know somebody's just a little bit off. Just a little bit off. The visual evidence to the contrary says you're not all right there, Bubba.
Oh.
It's really a good analogy, though. And that was going on back. Forty years ago, that was what was going on.
Yeah.
And I know people do it now. I know it because I know I did it.
Sure.
And, you know, you move very, very slowly into the position of, oh God, I can't believe I did that. I sure hope that he'll cover me. I sure hope his forgiveness available yet again for me, Lord. And, you know, it's,
you need to know that it's there.
His goodness, yeah.
But you recognizing where you've fallen short and going to him, that's what unlocks it.
It is, and that is our position today. That's our testimony today. It is there. It is there. And we know that that's the boldness we know is there.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I had to define a change, it's a change from desperation to the boldness of knowing it's there. From a desperation of hoping and not knowing, but that you can receive something, and the boldness of knowing how Lord is and how faithful he is. And, how true his word is. You know, what a privilege it is to preach his word and watch him meet others reveal himself to them. As you watch that happen. You watch the body going together and trusting their state to one another. And making provisions for one another. Not because we're anything, but because the Lord's good. Lord's good. And it's like the it's like that big party greeting that Scott got when he got here. He got to play around in his little water. We know how to party. But, you know, Lord's sent us somebody in a time of need.
Yep.
And, he, you know.
Well, amen. And I was pleased to fill that need.
It's a praise. Praise the Lord. I'm pleased that you were pleased, because otherwise it would have been so good. But, you know, the Lord's provision is, that's the latest bright, shiny example. The Lord's provision is the testimony of me over the last 4 or 5 years. It is evident even to a dimwit like me of his provision. He's been good. He's been good to us. And it's not like he started that long ago. It's just that my dimwittedness kind of started getting peeled back a little bit. And
you start to see.
Yeah.
Well, your whole life, well, for years, you said 4 or 5, and the things that you've been through, Paul, you go back to where, you go back to where you were with the family on Lilac Avenue. You go all the way through, you know, you met Davey, and you go all the way through, really, what has happened that whole time, the grace of the Lord's been with you. Mm-hmm. There are some painful things that got ripped away from you, but they were good for you. He knew what was best for you, even though it hurt like a son of a gun. And, you know, I mean, it was one that he had grace on you, among you, the whole time. And, you know, I don't even know, I wouldn't say the Lord, just people made decisions as the Lord started moving in your life, and there's been a great grace on you since then.
And the truth of his word and the truth of his goodness is that you know, I was wandering around. I've lost everything. Lost everything. The only thing I still had was my vehicle and the clothes I could shove in the back seat. And a revelation of over the last 5 or 6, 7 years is that as the stuff came back to me, some stuff came back to me. Stuff, and now I'm in a position where it's exceedingly abundantly above that which I could have ever asked or thought.
And what were people's decision had lied before was not good for you. Mm-hmm. And so they chose, you know, darkness rather than light through that whole process. And that thing, those, you know, you lost everything, but none of that was good for you if it was being chose to be darkness, used for darkness rather than light. Does that make any sense? And now what you're getting is far better, abundantly you can ask or think, exceedingly abundantly above you can ask or think, and for His glory and for the benefit of the body of Christ.
Not that I suddenly became perfect. What happened was I got to a place where the Lord could show me along the way where His provisions, where He'd been good to me. And it's not like I'm pleased in the prosperity with myself. I'm humbled by His goodness. I'm humbled by His provision. I'm humbled because of I know where I know what I am. And He's been good to me, and I didn't deserve it at all. And He didn't give me what I did deserve.
Praise God.
Yeah. Gil put that in there 15 minutes ago, but that's funny, yeah. Our position is default. It's bad. It's sleeping with that dead cat again. That's what that is. So it's like, I put that thing, that stink thing back in the ground. Pull your arms.
I think an important thing that while that was happening is there were people like Brother Davey standing in the gap for you.
That's absolutely
that didn't give up, that were long suffering. I mean, my gosh, we all fall under that with Brother Davey. I mean, praise God for men like him.
That's an example of doing the truth and hanging in there, continuing to do the truth, to do the truth, to do the truth, to do the truth. And not giving up, doing the truth. Doing the truth. It's far be it from me. I don't want any of this to come out sounding like I think I've arrived at something. I know where I am. And it's a state of desperation apart from Jesus Christ. And He's good. That's my state. That's the state I've come to. I know how good He is. And I would that everybody got to know how good He is and be a partaker of His grace and mercy and benefit from that. And trust Him for all of it and trust Him for the provision. Don't, you know, be charged. I'd charge everybody not to follow after in Hebrews 3, the example of the Israelites in the desert. With provision and presence and power of God, they still wanted, they preferred Egypt.
Yep.
They preferred to be comfortable in their bondage. And you know, sometimes this walk has been very uncomfortable, but it was safe for me. It was profitable for me. It was desperation sometimes, but it's what I needed. What I needed. I wish that I hadn't been so stupid. Wish I hadn't been so stiff-necked. Wish I'd been so slow to agree with God. But, you know, talk about a default position. That's a default position. It's not a good one.
And, you know, but none of that matters anymore. I mean, what you still have is the testimony of how good God is.
Yeah.
And his grace and mercy and his provision for you is, you still have that as your testimony in spite of you being stiff enough, all these things. And that's what it's about, isn't it? That's exactly what it's about. And the cool thing about it is none of that matters. You don't remember that no more. You go to him with that stuff at, you know, Lord, I'm sorry. Years ago, I was like that. What stuff? You know, it's like him saying, do you know it's Sunday? Year 2014? I don't care about 2013 anymore. You know, it's a beautiful, it's a marvelous thing with the Lord. When he's forgotten it, he's forgotten it. When it's gone, it's gone. You know, it's an amazing thing. You ever wake up in the morning, oh gosh, you know, you've just gone through a terrible situation or your attitude's been stank and horrible. And you wake up and you, gosh, man, Lord, I just need a restart. Well, when my mercies are renewed every day, grab a hold on it, run with it, baby. It's here for
you. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof.
Amen.
Why are you worrying about yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I got something better for you. I got something better for you. No, Lord, it just 3 minutes ago, I just, man, this, and I got something better for you than that. If you would. Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. Okay, it's gone. Let's go. Let's move forward. I know with me the biggest thing is I still feel it. I still know. You know? Why when I washed it away? If I've forgiven you, why haven't you forgiven yourself?
Amen.
Scott, you brought up a good point with sufficient is the evil of the day thereof. Or sufficient is the evil of the day thereof. Because we have enough crap to deal with in the day at hand that if we are stuck on things in the past or even looking beyond today, we're going to miss everything that we're supposed to do that day.
Amen.
And you'll we're miss. Going to be back in the default position of doing our own thing and not doing the Lord's thing.
Yeah, we'll miss all the opportunities and the good time the Lord has for you then.
That's about our mind won't be in a position to see.
It reminds me of James. And what is James where he says, I think it's James 4. Turn into it right now. I think this is apropos for it. I could be very much wrong. It's definitely not the first time. It won't be laced. But let's see here. All right, so let's see. Now it might have been... Gosh, where is it? Is it in James?
We're not sure what you're looking for right now.
It's a long way between.
Are you looking for 4:14?
That might be it. No, it's the part where, you know, today we'll go and sell and do this or that.
James 2, isn't it?
James 2, is it?
2 or 3.
Oh, 4:13, you know, go to now, you say.
Yeah, there it is.
Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You got your agenda is open to his agenda. And when you're about doing his will, I mean, that's where we need to be at. But if we're in the place where, well, we're going to go here and do this and that and do that and that, we're all about our own thing. And we might miss the complete thing that the Lord has. I mean, look, man, right? Ain't a bad thing to say, hey, you know, today I plan on going doing this and this. Lord might have something completely different. You might be on your way to go do that thing. Somebody's broken down the side of the road.
Sure. Be ready when that audible's called.
Yeah, be ready. Yeah, absolutely.
Football.
Absolutely. Be ready. That person might need to be ministered, but if you're bent, hell bent, stuck on your own thing, you might have missed that opportunity to minister the gospel on this.
Share that love.
Share that love.
And that is what it is to be a doer. Right?
Amen.
That is. The calling of the guy from Florida to go heal a guy in Maryland that he's never met, doesn't know where he lives.
Sure.
With $20 in his pocket. That's how good the Lord is.
And you see the fruit of that obedience. I mean, Steve, Robin, Ann, Cheryl, Carrie. But essentially that leads down to you. Yeah, to all of us, does it not?
Yeah.
Kim.
Yeah. I mean, it just, it's simple. I mean, because without Steve receiving that, would he ever got in touch with you? You know, without, you know, Davey reaching out, coming down to South Carolina, hearing that call, anybody ever reached out to you and then reached out to you, Paulie, or reached out to me, or, you know, where wasn't obedient unto the call.
And it'd just, you know, be a shame to miss that event happening in our lives. That had all the down the line opportunities. It's really, be a shame for that to happen. And all you gotta do is do his thing. And be ready when an audible gets called.
Amen.
So. Pretty good. I think we've come to a place where we can call this one a wrap. We are just a couple of minutes from the top of the hour, and it's been fun, and it's been real, and, you know, it is a real privilege to be able to talk about the Lord, how good he is.
Amen.
So for everybody here, Phil and James and least of all, Scott Bishop. Last of all, Scott Bishop.
But not least.
Thank you all for listening. The Texas service comes up here in a couple of minutes. And we'll see you next time on the Hour of Truth.
Goodbye, everybody.
Have a great day, everyone.